The Lady Eve, Sullivan's Travels, The Palm Beach Story. Those are some of the comedies written and directed by the great Hollywood filmmaker Preston Sturges. A new DVD set collects seven of those films he made between 1940 and 1944. Our critic at large, John Powers, has a review.
We've all heard Edison's old line about how genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Well, that may be so, but any artist will tell you that you're sunk without that 1%. There are a few more striking examples of this than Preston Sturges, the first of Hollywood's great writer-directors. Between 1940 and 1944, this prodigy turned out seven classic comedies, one of the great creative bursts in American culture, an explosion of invention comparable to Bob Dylan's musical flowering in the 1960s, or Philip Roth's recent run of novels. Then, seemingly overnight, Sturges' inspiration seemed to desert him, and he never made another successful film. Happily, those seven inspired comedies are available in a new DVD box set, and they're essential viewing for anyone interested in American culture, or anybody who just wants to laugh. For Sturges' comedies burst with so much manic energy that they're almost orgiastic, a surreal riot of wisecracks, slapstick, and run-amok characters. This is a filmmaker who gives you the rollicking Ale and Quail Club in The Palm Beach Story. They go skeet shooting inside a train. But he also gives you the verbal wit of card-sharp Barbara Stanwyck, hoping to fleece naive Henry Fonda in The Lady Eve. "I need him," Stanwyck says, "like the hatchet needs the turkey." Of course, Sturges wasn't just a joke meister. His comedy explored the enduring delusions and self-delusions of the American dream. Christmas in July centers on an office worker who's tricked into thinking he won a fortune. The Great McGinty is about a crooked politician who's done in by telling the truth. And the hero of Sullivan's Travels is the director of trifling Hollywood comedies who dresses up as a tramp to research a deep-dish, socially conscious movie called, pretentiously enough, O Brother, Where Art Thou? Sturges wasn't shy about taking on sacred cows, either. In Hail the Conquering Hero, Eddie Bracken plays Woodrow Lafayette Pershing Truesmith, a young man discharged from the military because of chronic hay fever. At a bar, he meets some Marines who decide to turn him into a war hero, complete with medals, to make his mother happy. But when Woodrow gets back to his hometown, he's hailed as a conquering hero and starts feeling trapped by this big lie. Here, he's complaining about the situation to one of the Marines, played by Sturges regular William Demarest.
"Look, I didn't get you in this.
Oh, yes, you did. I was going to hide in the water."
"A Marine never hides. That's what Semper Fidelis means. It means face the music."
"Well, it does not. It happens to mean always faithful."
"That's right. Faithful to your mother."
"It doesn't mean faithful to your mother at all. It means faithful to the..."
"What's the matter with you? You're home. Your mother's happy. Did you see that look in her eyes? Your girl still loves you, and the town gave you a nice little reception."
"I'll say they did."
"Boy, I wished I was in your shoes."
"Boy, I wish you were too. Look, I don't want to sound ungrateful. I know you did it for the best, and I thank you for your good
advice. I tell you, it'll all blow over. Everything is perfect except for a couple of details."
"They hang people for a couple of details."
"What are you talking about? I've been a hero, you could call it that, for 25 years. And does anybody ever ask me what I done? If they did, I could hardly tell them. I told us so different so many times. It ain't as if you done it on purpose. By Tuesday, you'll be forgotten."
"Well, I hope you're right."
"I know I'm right. You take General Sublitz."
It's worth noting that this send-up of bogus heroism and momism was made during the very heart of World War II, a full 60 years before Clint Eastwood played a similar story straight in Flags of Our Fathers. Sturges always took pride in showing parts of Americana that most of the Hollywood Dream Factory did not. And aside from The Lady Eve, all of these films are wildly unconventional. None more so than The Miracle of Morgan's Creek, whose premise would seem daring even today. Betty Hutton stars as Trudy Cockenlocker, a young woman who comes to after partying with a group of soldiers, only to discover that she's married somebody, she can't remember who. And by the way, she's also pregnant. Sturges' films are so enjoyable that it seems a tad churlish to point out that he fell short of greatness. His comedy lacked the deep humanity you find in Jean Renoir or Ernst Lubitsch, and it also lacked the rigor. A freewheeling talent, Sturges rarely thought his ideas through. While nearly all his movies begin with a sharp, potentially shocking premise, they often end in the kind of tinny, wish-fulfilling resolutions that are the purest Hollywood. But I don't mean to be harsh about this. After all, few things are more distinctively American than Sturges' desire to be iconoclastic and reassuring at the very same time. That's part of what gives our pop culture its seductive lightness, its zing. And no filmmaker has ever had more pizzazz than Preston Sturges, who once put his comic philosophy this way. A pretty girl is better than a plain one. A leg is better than an arm. A bedroom is better than a living room. An arrival is better than a departure. A birth is better than a death. A chase is better than a chat. A dog is better than a landscape. A kitten is better than a dog. A baby is better than a kitten. A kiss is better than a baby. And a pratfall is better than anything.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue. He reviewed a new DVD collection of films by Preston Sturges. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hersfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Schirach directs the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. Ahmet Erdogan, founder of Atlantic Records, died yesterday at the age of 83. Under his eyes and ears, Atlantic gathered one of the most impressive stables of musicians in jazz, rock, and soul. The list includes enough great artists for a dozen record labels. Ray Charles, Joe Turner, Bobby Darin, John Coltrane, Charles Mingus, Otis Redding, The Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, Buffalo Springfield, and, of course, Aretha Franklin. For Terry Gross, I'm David Bianculli.